Let's get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Word. Lord, it is there to teach us, to guide us, to strengthen us in our walk with you. And I pray, God, this morning that what you give us in our hearts, there will be something in there for everyone, Lord, that all of us will grow more in you after having heard your word. For some, it'll be a refreshing. For some, it'll be new. But Lord, in all these things, I pray that your Spirit would move over us to make us more like you in every way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I've been reading from that little itty-bitty book of 1 John, and I'm still there. We're only in chapter 2, but that's okay, because we're not going to rush through this book, because a lot of people, you could read this book in under 20 minutes, and you could walk away with completely the wrong impression. It's a book that you have to take your time in, that you have to digest, you have to think, and you have to cross-reference other scriptures and get the full picture of what John is teaching here. So I'm going to start at verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now that's the thesis of what's to follow, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked, that's being Jesus. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. And the one who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, remember the context of this and the thesis of this was that we did not sin. And sometimes we read this and when we hear words like being perfect and if you sin, you're all kinds of problems with you. You're a liar if you don't have his word. And so we can get kind of panicky about some of this stuff. Now, we've covered a lot of it already. And we've talked about that there's a need for us to seek after righteousness. And so we talked about what that was. And then there we talked about what it was meaning to follow after Jesus, to walk after him and to live like him. And we used the what would Jesus do, the WWJD, as far as following after Jesus. But in all of these things, in seeking after righteousness, we knew that it involved love. It's love that we seek after righteousness, and it's love for Jesus that we want to be like him and be a reflection of him in our life. And now we're getting down to the hardest part of it all, about loving our brothers and sisters in the Lord. This should, when we read this, it feels like it's something that should just be automatic, because if you're in God, you should be loving your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so you can get the impression that this should just come natural. But I'm going to tell you something. If it came naturally, if it was just automatic, wouldn't even be here, wouldn't need to be here. That's like saying, take a shower and don't forget to get wet. You know, you're gonna, right? And so we know that there's something to be worked on, and he spent a lot of time in this tiny little book on this extremely important topic. Now, what he's talking about here is the striving for this. We should be striving to love, especially in the household of faith, because this is where he's focusing in on. Now, we talked a few weeks ago about loving your enemy. That's the person outside of the faith that's antagonistic towards you, and that's important too. But how much more those within the walls of the church should we be striving to love? And sometimes it gets tricky and messy, and they do things to hurt us, and we have to remember something. Everybody in this room is in a different place spiritual on any given Sunday. You're going to have people here that are struggling just to be here. You're going to have people that are watching online because they can't be here. You're going to have people who had a fight with their spouse on the way to church or this morning or is yelling at their children. Or you're going to have somebody who's sick in their body and they struggle to come here. You're going to have people that are on those hallelujah mountaintops. It's all over the place, but that's okay. We come together as a fellowship to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to hear from the Word of God, and to build ourselves up. And so when we're looking at this loving our brother, we have to remember that they're coming from different places, but we're all here for the same reason. Amen? We're all here for Jesus. Now, there's some things in here when we're looking at this loving your brother business that I want to focus in on, and there's some contrasts that are made. And one of the contrasts here is spiritual darkness to spiritual light. Spiritual darkness. When we hear that, a lot of times we think, oh, Judy, you're talking scary stuff now. Are you going to go over the edge on us? And no, I'm not. The Bible doesn't shirk away from spiritual darkness. And it talks very much about that. But we want to go first to look at light. What is spiritual light? 1 John 1:5 was a powerful, powerful theological statement about God. And I want us to embrace it because there's actually two right in this little part of this Bible that are very, very powerful that we need to grab a hold of. And that is in 1 John 1:5, this is the message we've heard from him and announced to you that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. Now, darkness is considered evil, and light is purity, so there's a symbolic meaning here. There is no evil in God at all. None. Now, this makes that strong statement that we are, if we're going to be walking in the light, then we need to be children of the light. And so we see that we want to be like God. We don't want to have this evil going on in our heart. And there's another statement that's made twice in the book of John. It's 1 John 4:8, and then it happens again in 1 John 4:16, just eight verses later. And that is a very powerful, and you've probably seen it on a button. You might have seen it on a bumper sticker. God is love. God is love. So we have a perfect light with no darkness in it. We have God is love. You see there's a connection, and we talked about this before. The connection between love and righteousness is integral. It's inseparable. We act righteously because of what's going on in our heart. What happens out here is a reflection of what is in our heart. Now, when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees, he talked to them about keeping the outside of the cup clean. It all looked good to everybody out here, but what was inside was filthy. They weren't cleaning up the inside of the cup, Jesus said, and he's referring to the heart. He's referring to cleaning up what's going on inside your heart. This is where our efforts need to be, is in what's going on in our heart. We can't let those thoughts run wild. You think you can and just let everybody else be fooled. Then you become not even the real person that you are. You're hiding stuff. You become a fake, if you will, a hypocrite, even if you will, because what's in here is ugly. We need to deal with what's in the heart. We got to get the light in our heart. And the light comes from Jesus. The light comes from the Word of God. The light comes from purifying those thoughts and saying, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to see what God says about loving my brother and sister, and I'm going to follow after Jesus. And then we're going to, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus view this situation? If this person was being so mean to Jesus and talking bad about Jesus, what would he do? Remember, we talked about that last week. But this is all part of maturing and the teleos, the being perfected in God. And so it's a very, very important that we deal with the inside of our heart and we allow the light to shine in our heart. God is light. God is perfect. And this is the premise that goes on with the verses 8 to 11 that we were talking about on brotherly love. And when we're looking at darkness, we see the contrast here. And it's important that we not want the darkness, that we're seeking the light, that we're seeking Jesus, we're seeking God, we're seeking his ways. And on verse 8, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The true light is already shining. The darkness is passing away. I want to focus in on that particular line because some people can get the impression that this is instantaneous. You get saved and you love everybody. It doesn't work. You find out real fast. It's a process. It's a process. The darkness is passing away. It's a maturing. It's a process. But it does get really strong at verse 9, and we talked about this before. The one who says he's in the light yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. This is the good part. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see the contrast. And you say, well, I'm going to tell you something. John did not give you a choice. He did not say, I hate to even use that term, shades of gray. You're either in the light or you're in the dark. He did not say, allow a little bit of darkness. Why did he do that? Why did he not say it? Because, I mean, he knows we're all struggling. He knows we all have problems. Why didn't he say it? Because you should always be working to get rid of the darkness that's in your heart. It's going to make you stumble. Remember the premise. The premise is that you not sin. And as long as you allow even a little bit of darkness in your heart, you're going to trip. You're going to trip. I'm going to tell you that for believers, this is probably the most common one, is gossip. Gossip is so destructive. If you go back to Proverbs all the way through the Bible, you will see that God takes a very strong stand against gossip. In Proverbs, it's on the list of the things he hates. And so if you're mad at somebody and you're allowing all that bitterness to be welling up inside of you and somebody else starts talking bad about them, you're going to jump right in. You didn't want to, it wasn't your plan to, but you're going to because the temptation is so strong because you allow that darkness to stay in you and it wants to find release. Now, I'm not talking about coming and talking to your pastor and sharing with your pastor your pain. You need to have a place where you can have a believer, hopefully a mature believer, to guide you in the light, to guide you in loving direction, and not to drive you down the path. And here's what you're going to notice. You see, if you're talking to somebody about someone else and is something that they've done to you and you're looking for some compassion, you're looking for some help, you're picking a mature believer, they are going to coach you to go in the way of love. They are going to coach you how to handle your pain. They're going to coach you to forgive. Now, if you're with somebody and they're not a strong believer, they're not a mature believer, and you share this, here's what's going to happen. That's going to take it to another person yet again. Did you hear what they did to so-and-so? Did you hear what they did to so-and-so? And then the fire starts. You see, you got a problem now. It's not just now contained. It's getting loose. When you don't go to someone who's mature and you tell them what so-and-so did to you, they're going to say, oh, that person, they're a horrible person. That's an ugly, horrible thing to do. Yeah, I despise that person. We should do something about them. And you see where it goes? It's a different direction. And so when you're dealing with a difficult person, and you need to have some companionship, you need some fellowship, you need someone to help you, to guide you through, pick a mature believer. And as soon as you sense this thing going the wrong way, as soon as you sense it going sideways, you apologize and say, you know what, I'm really sorry. I think I spoke out of turn here. And you back out of that conversation and you find yourself a firm, mature believer to share that will lead you and help you and with compassion help you to move into the realm that God would want you to, and that's the walking in light, where there is no stumbling, where there is no falling. Does that make sense? Can I get an amen? Amen. So there is a difference, and it's important that we know it. Matthew 22, we're talking about here the new commandment and the old commandment, and I think that deserves mentioning here because it is all about love. Remember, I have brought this scripture in every single time, and I said if you memorize it, you're going to get a chocolate. Well, it's a candy, but come to me after the service and say, hey, I know something. Matthew 22, 37 to 40, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first commandment, and it doesn't sound all that hard, right? I preached on this a long time ago. I'll tell you something. If we started our day right there, starting by loving God, and this is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, This commandment is not new. You can find it in the Old Testament. But, Jesus said he's given it to him as a new, and in other places it's referred to as new. But here's what's new. It's not that the commandment is new. The insight is new. The love of God being shed in our hearts is new because the new covenant came in, and we have the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our walk. But also applying this loving the Lord and loving your neighbor to the entire Old Testament. That's what Law and the Prophets is. It's the entire Old Testament. I don't know. I've read my Bible so many times now, I have completely lost count, which is fine with me. But I remember back in the early days when I read the Old Testament, I think, wow, that is one brutal book. Wow, that God is awful hard there. But then when I began to read it again and again and again, and I'd read the New Testament and go back to the Old, read the New Testament and go back to the Old, I began to see what Jesus was saying. The love of God is profoundly evident in the Old Testament, profoundly evident. And when you begin to view the Old Testament with the love for God and a love for your neighbor, it changes everything. Everything. It's like somebody's put the lights on. It's like reading it in the light, if you will. And it's about love. It's about sacrifice. It's about patience. It's about God's long suffering. It's about God's power. And you see God's caring, his loving kindness throughout the Old Testament, and you're just blown away. That's new. You know, when we want to think about loving our brother as ourselves or loving God, we love it when God loves on us. We all know what we brought to the table, don't we? We didn't bring much. And God says, I love you. I love you. I forgive you. All those horrible things you did, those awful, ugly, that darkness that you had. And God said to you, I love you. I love you. And it's just that blessed moment and when you realize that he took it all away and you have this wonderful relationship with God. And now God is saying, go and do the same to everybody else. It's a lot more fun to receive than to give in this case when you start. But you learn. It's a process of learning. It's like John says in 4:20, and he says it again, by the way. John 4:20-21, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Oh, it gets hard. But John doesn't give us any compromise here. He doesn't give us a compromise. He says, you got to do it. You've got to do it. But here's the thing, if you love God, if you really love God, you're going to want to please him. If you really love God, you're going to want to try to love that brother the way God wants you to love him. And you will begin to see him through the eyes of God. You will. You'll begin to recognize people have weaknesses and you have yours. And just because somebody else's weaknesses is not yours, you won't despise them for it, but you'll want to help them through it instead. And that's not always easy all in itself, but I'm telling you, there's a pathway that we follow in trying to help others through their own time of sin. Now, there are some people that no matter how much love you shed on them, they are not going to be your bosom buddies. I'm sorry, that's the reality. But that's not on you. That's on them. You do your part. You do your part. There's no guarantee that they're going to respond to you and think, I like you now. You know, it could happen. It's the only way it will happen is if you show love. It's the only way that relationship is going to be restored is if you show love. But it's not the guarantee. You see, it involves two different people. But you should be also praying for them that God would move their heart to compassion. Be praying for them. Put them on your prayer list. I'll tell you what. The devil loves to send nasty people your way. Because he knows. He knows it. It's hard. He loves to send them your way, and then you get all this testing going on, and you find out what you're really made of, and who you're going to take your troubles to. You're right straight to Jesus, I'm hoping, and a mature believer like we talked. But it tests you. And if the devil can trip you up, pay attention, if the devil can trip you up with this, guess what he's going to do? He's going to keep sending nasty people your way. But, if you say, oh, devil, you're not going to get me on this one. I am going to double down on my prayers for that person. The devil's going to start being afraid of you. He is not going to send anyone else your way because all of a sudden you're praying for them and all of a sudden they're repenting and that nasty person now becomes a believer in Jesus Christ and now he's got twice the problem. So let's do it God's way. Let's give the devil a black eye and he is going to be afraid of you. When you start praying and loving for those who persecute you, when you start praying and loving your enemies, when you start praying and loving those who are mean and snide to you, those who gossip about you, all of those things, when you start praying for them, devil's going to be afraid of you, and things are going to happen too, by the way. Things are going to happen, because I'm going to tell you something too. If you're really following hard after God, and you really love your neighbor as yourself, and you really want to represent Christ in this community, you are going to run into abrasive people. It will happen. It's like being in a football game. If you're in a football game, there's different people involved in this scenario. You got the players down on the field. You got the people up in the stands. The people up in the stands like to do this. Come on, catch the ball, throw the ball. Hey, run faster, get a touchdown. That's the people in the stands. They're all about opinions. They're all about what's going on down in the field, but they're not in the game. If you're in the game, you're running. You're catching the ball. You're running at the enemy. You are pushing the enemy back. You're pushing your opponent back. And how you do that in the spiritual realm is you're going to be praying. And when you're praying, you're coming right face to face with the enemy. You are pushing him. If you don't feel him, you're not in the game. Get in the game, brothers and sisters, because the day is coming when we're not going to have the game to play anymore. We're going to be taken home to Christ, and he's going to say, what did you do? What did you do while you were down there? We are going to be players of the game, and we're going to give that devil a black eye, and I get an amen. Amen. Totally off script. We will find our way back here. We've already talked about being perfected. Perfected. The love of God has been perfected in us. And that perfected doesn't mean you're perfect. It's maturity. It's complete. It's a higher moral standard. As you serve God, as you put into practice what John is saying, you become perfected. One theologian wrote this: there is no substitute, no excuse for violation, no compromise, no gray areas, no third possibilities. We are commanded to love our brothers. Wow. If that's the goal, brothers and sisters. That's what we are going to strive for. Wow. Praise God. We're going to talk about the next contrast. And the next contrast made in here is about stumbling in the darkness. Stumbling in the darkness. And John, I am moving forward quite a bit here. But we have in verse 10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Now, this is stumbling as in, oops, I sinned. Now, I don't know. You guys are probably better than me, maybe. I don't know. But I stumble sometimes, and it's usually when I let something go in my heart. That's where it starts, right? We already talked about that. But it goes on in verse 11, the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't even know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So we see stumbling and walking in the darkness. Have you ever had a power outage? I live in the country. When we had power outages in the city, it wasn't such a bad deal because you still sometimes had street light, but if those went out, you were really hooped. But you can't find anything. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And so now you're going to try to walk to get a flashlight or find a candle to light or something, and you're sitting in your home where you've sat many times before, you've got up and done things and never thought about it, but now that it's dark, it's sketchy. And so you're like this. Okay, I know that's here somewhere. And you're feeling around and you're moving slow and you bump your foot into things. This is what spiritual darkness is like. You see, when you're in the light, when you have the God's love in your heart and you're trying to walk with God's love, you walk with confidence. You know what to do because you've been in prayer, you've been in the presence of Jesus, and you've thought this through. And so when you're in the light, you just go for it. You know what to do. But when you're in the darkness, it says it's blinded their eyes. They don't know where they're going. They can sin, and not even realize that they're sinning because the darkness has blinded their eyes. They don't even realize that they're sinning. They can do it so easily. And hopefully that is not easy for us to do. And we want to have this light in us that causes us not to stumble. 1 John 1:7, you remember 1:5 was where we said Jesus is the light. 1:7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. We're in the right place. We're in the right place when we're walking in the light, when we're saying, I am going to do things. Walking is doing things. It's like the very next thing you do, one thing after the other after the other. From the time you get up to the time you go to bed, if you're walking in the light, you're walking to try to serve God. That's what walking is. It's just your daily activity. And this cause of stumbling happens to us if we allow that ugliness in our heart. We can sin so easily. We trip easily. And sometimes not even realize how much sin we're doing. 2 Peter 1, verses 4 to 11 are powerful advice, if you will, or tips on how to fill your heart with the things that God would have you fill your heart with. For by these things he has granted, and that's Jesus, his precious, magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. That's not the worldly nature. That's not the instinct of man. And we fight all the time. Our human nature and our divine nature are at war. We will have that until the day we're perfected when we see Jesus, and we're going to get to that later in the book of John. But we've escaped the corruption in the world by lust. Now, this is very recent also, applying all diligence. Now, applying diligence means you're going to do it all the time. It doesn't mean you're going to do it once and it's done. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. That's getting into the Word of God. Getting after knowledge, it says, in your knowledge, you gain self-control. That's taking control of what you want to do. That's saying, I am not going to allow myself to do that. We all understand it when it applies to a diet. You know, I'm not going to eat that piece of cake. That self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. That means I'm not going to eat it later either. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to persevere in doing what God wants me to do. And in your perseverance, godliness, because it matures into godliness. It becomes a way of life. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. That's phileo love, Philadelphia love, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, it adds another kind of love in there, a love. You see how it grows? It grows from a brotherly love into a agape love, which is the last love there, which is that unconditional love. That's a hard one to strive for, but unconditional love. But here, catch this in verse 8. If these qualities are yours and increasing, you see the growing of it, you see the growth, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going. For he who lacks these qualities is blind. Here we are back in spiritual darkness and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Keep doing it. Keep trying. Don't give up. To make more certain about his calling and choosing for you. As long as you practice these things, this is your promise, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will abundantly be supplied to you. Isn't that powerful? The same truth is just all through the scripture. That love, that seeking after God, that dealing with that difficult person is a growing process. It's not something that happens instantly. That scripture, by the way, I'm sure I've mentioned it before, is another great one to memorize or to pray. I pray over this congregation regularly, and in my prayer book, I have that scripture written down, and I pray this scripture over us all the time, that God would help us to have that greater faith, greater moral excellence, greater knowledge in him, greater self-control, greater perseverance in serving God, greater godliness, greater love, brotherly love, and greater agape love, and help us to grow and increase, that we would neither be useless nor unfruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ in our community. Isn't that a powerful prayer? That's praying the Word of God, and it makes a difference. When you pray scripture, you can be sure God is going to answer because you're praying according to his will. That's what we read in scripture if we pray according to his will. But we can't avoid the loving of another person. It's not allowed in our life. Now, that doesn't mean we cast our pearls before swine. We've talked about this before. And maybe one day I'll preach on boundaries, but it's more of a teaching than a preaching. But it's what's going on in your heart. It's what's happening in your heart. That's the part that we have to get rid of. We're going to wrap it up there. God is so good to us that he has forgiven us of all of our garbage, and now he's telling us to be a reflection of him to this world, a reflection of him to our brothers and sisters in the household of faith, and then beyond these walls. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just hear this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody again, I say this, but if you say, Pastor Judy, just please help me. Help me in this area. I am struggling with somebody, and I just need your help, Lord. Just help me to love and help me to walk in the godly way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's just give it to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, you see the wounds. You see the pain that we're carrying. And I know, Jesus, that you care for us. I know they persecuted you and they insulted you. And yet you still went to the cross to die for them. Help us, Jesus. Help us. We need your help. We need your Holy Spirit to give us that love. We need your Holy Spirit to encourage us. We need your wisdom, Lord, to know what to do every step of the way. So we call upon you, O Holy Spirit, to come first and bring healing into our hearts. Help us to have the light of your love in our hearts, Lord. And help us to shine that light out. Help us to have enough confidence in you, God, that their insults would fall on deaf ears. And help us, Lord, to pray for them the right way. And Lord, just to continue to keep our heart with all diligence, Lord, help us with our keep our heart right towards you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to have a time of worship now.